I invite you to take a Bible and turn to Psalm 136. If you're using a pew Bible, we're going to be on page 443 and 444. You may have noticed Kelly is out today on a much-deserved vacation. Libby, thank you for providing leadership twice today. We appreciate all your efforts. I would also warn you, if you're thinking about joining the choir, don't hesitate. We only have like two robes left. Right? So if you want to be a part of what's happening here, come on, you got to act fast. Psalm 136, I'm going to start back in verse 1. I'm going to read to give you the context through verse 9. The psalmist says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What's your favorite thing in creation? If I like had to like nail you down on like one thing that you just, when you see it or experience it, it just moves you. For me, I think it has to be either the sun or the moon. Most nights at night when I lie down with May and she's getting ready to go to bed, I'll ask Alexa, "Alexa, tell me about the moon." Now, every now and then she gets off and she just kind of gives me some random like description of the moon as if I don't know what the moon is. But more often than not, she'll tell me about the particular phase of the moon. Right? And I don't know if any of you are moon people, but this past week, it was a good week for the moon. There's a lunar eclipse. Even this morning when I walked out early this morning and I looked up, the moon was particularly bright. It was just bright, the skies were clear, and there's a part of me that when I look up and I see the moon, or in the morning when I see the sunrise, if I'm coming back from Mountain Brook Baptist Church Gym, which I affectionately call the Mountain Brook House of Pain, I top the hill on my way down back to my house, and I'm over in the Brookwood Forest area, and I see the sun rising, and it is gorgeous. And in those moments when I see those things in creation, there's a gratitude that wells up in my heart, and I also feel particularly small in those moments. But like a good small. The kind of small that makes me kind of stand back in awe and wonder and in amazement at who God is and all that he has created around me. And from the witness of the scriptures, that's what's supposed to happen all the time. That you and I miss God's creativity and his power and his wisdom on display around us in a myriad of ways. That you and I are walking around the earth in this beautiful thing that God has created, and so often we're distracted from seeing all the wonders that he's made for us to enjoy. Our family went on a vacation this past summer, and we got to see a sloth in person. Have any of you ever seen a sloth? It's amazing. We went there early in the day, and they're like, this is the time of day we show sloths. And it was incredible because the sloths were like, "Nope, not coming down." And this person was like, "Trust me, they're there, they'll come later." And we went back later in the day, and if you've never seen a sloth, y'all, eat. It's like this. Like the sloth is on its back and it's going, as you might imagine. And you see that, and you're just like, what in the world? Like, that thing's out there all the time. Man, I love to watch documentaries. Having a 7-year-old is a great thing for a 47-year-old because she likes to watch things I like to watch sometimes. And as you see these things that are happening every day, all the time, whether or not you're aware of it, All of this is pointing us to the reality that there is a God who created all of this. And he is wise, and he is powerful, and he loves us and does things for us that he doesn't have to do. Like, do you ever think about that? We don't have to live in a world where the sun comes up in the morning and it causes us to just catch our breath sometimes. We don't have to live in a world where we can see the moon go through its phases and just look and just be like, wow. We don't have to live in a world where we see flowers and we can see their colors and we can smell their aromas. We don't have to live in a world where the seasons change and bring us joy. Is anybody ready for fall? God bless the people in Phoenix. We're sorry. That there is a part of us that even as you walk out in the morning right now and you feel a little bit of change in the weather, that it brings you a certain sense of joy. And all of these things are meant to move you to worship and adoration of the God who made all these things. That he's revealed himself to us so clearly in all of creation. When you go back to the book of Genesis, and the author of Genesis starts, he's telling us the reality of who God is and how we got here and how everything is created. And the original people to receive that text probably were living in a world where there were all these theories of rival gods and how things came into being. And the Lord reveals to his people that he created everything. And he created it by the power of his word. For him, it was not difficult. He called everything into creation. Light and dark, the sun, the moon, the stars. All the vegetation, all the life that you and I see and experience, all of these things, Psalm 19 says, do what? They declare the glory of God. That every day, whether you hear one of my amazing sermons or not, you ought to just ride around in creation and God is speaking to you. He is speaking to you everywhere, proclaiming his goodness and his kindness and his power and his creativity. And ultimately, he is explaining to us that he is a God who loves us. As we see the sun and the moon and the stars, the psalmist says, that refrain over and over again, the steadfast love of the Lord endures how long? Forever. Steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And according to Proverbs chapter 8, at some point you need to read this today. According to Proverbs chapter 8, the Lord did all of this, and it's a reflection also of his wisdom. I wish we had a physician who could just get up here this morning and talk about our bodies and how they work. The intricacies of God's wisdom and how life is sustained for us. Or the balance of all the things in creation that show God's wisdom. Bees that sting us also make like life and fruit and all the things that we experience possible. That God's wisdom is on display and he's proclaiming to us that he created us and that you and I exist in right relationship with him so long as we acknowledge him as the creator and yield ourselves in humble obedience and love to him. I often talk about the gospel, and I'm talking about to kids, especially in Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2 is just incredible. You just read it all the time. God is in perfect relationship with his creation and with Adam and Eve in the garden. And then, unfortunately, there's what? Genesis 3. And Genesis 3 is the story of how Adam and Eve did not submit to God's wisdom in their life. That he had created all of this stuff for them to enjoy. The heavens declared his glory. They lived in right relationship with him. But then there was this temptation to step outside of his plans of creation. And the promise was what? The promise is that there's something outside of God's plans for you that will ultimately satisfy the desires of your heart. And though they lived in perfect relationship with the Lord in the perfect place and perfect relationship with each other, that idea that there might be something good for them outside of God's perfect design won the day in their hearts. And sin, in one respect, is them not responding to their Creator in an appropriate way. And everything else in the Bible is this story of how God is about the business of redeeming His people, of calling them into right relationship with Himself. And when you get to John chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles open, just turn over to John chapter 1. I've been waiting all week to do this. This is so good. John chapter 1. Listen to how John starts his gospel account. It ought to be familiar to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The original recipients of Genesis might have had the understanding that there is a Creator God who has made all things. But you and I get to live in the era of redemption history, and when we understand that the God who created all things is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we read Psalm 136 and we say, "Give thanks to the Lord," we are not thinking about a generic deity. There's one thing that I hope I get across in these sermons is that everywhere in the Scriptures, when the Lord is referenced, He is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in a way that you and I don't often think about, perhaps, Jesus was present at the creation of the world. All things were made by Him and through Him and for Him ultimately. So when you and I think about Psalm 136, and we praise the Lord for His steadfast love endures forever, and we contemplate the reality that God's love for us will never end, that everything that has been created is an expression of His love that's meant for us to overflow in gratitude and love and ultimately obedience. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Because there's a way to walk away from a sermon like this thinking that we're just kind of meant to walk around in the world and be in awe at what God's created. And that's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do. However, I think Paul's argument in Romans chapter 1 would warn us against the idea that giving thanks to God for what He has created is just kind of a fun thing for us to do that's divorced from the life that we live day in and day out. I would argue to you based on Romans 1 that whether or not you give thanks to the Lord for who He is and what He's done will have huge implications for your obedience in life. That the more that you give thanks to God for who He is and what He's done, and the more you acknowledge that He's the Creator and you're what? You're a created being. And the more that you recognize that He loves you and that He is wise, then the implication for you is that you yield yourself in obedience to His call upon your life. Eventually in this sermon series, we're going to get to things like loving one another and loving the world. And it's going to require things like sacrifice. And if you and I are kind of in this relationship with God where ultimately everything in creation is just meant to bring us joy and make us happy all the time, and we don't acknowledge that this Creator has ownership of our lives and it's upon us to submit to His will for us, then you and I are not going to live the life that He would have for us to live. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without what? Excuse. We look around at the world, and if we pay attention, we're without excuse in understanding God's character and his power. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or do what? Give thanks to him. They did not honor him as God, and they did not give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The more that you express gratitude to someone for who they are and what they've done, the more you have a good understanding of their character and you love them, and it changes how you live in relationship with them. And so God is saying to us in all of creation, I created all of this for my glory and for your good and for your joy, and our response is meant to be what? Thank you. Thank you. When's the last time you walked around in God's creation and you saw something that he allowed you to experience in his grace and his mercy, and you just said, thank you. Thank you that the earth's still spinning this morning, Lord. Thank you that I got out of bed. Thank you that I know my name. Thank you that I saw that sunrise, or I saw that spider in my backyard. Even that thing. Thank you for all the ways you have shown your kindness to me. And the more that you do that, the more you understand the reality of God's gracious character in your life. And when he calls you to be obedient to his call upon your life, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, you're meant to do so out of a heart that understands that God has shown himself to love you, that recognizes that he is smarter than you. Can we all say that together? God's smarter than me. He knows how I'm meant to function in the world. And apart from that sense of gratitude and recognition of his love and his power and his might in your life, you're going to go out and live all manner of ways. I love the ending of the book of Job. You should read the end of the book of Job at some point. Now, I warn you that Job itself is quite long. And there's a lot of people saying a lot of things that aren't true, both about God and about Job. But you get to the end of the book of Job, and Job is, he's getting what he asked for. He said, I want an audience with the Lord. And after the Lord rebukes his friends, he then calls Job and he says, all right, I will give you what you've asked for. And then the Lord starts questioning Job. Were you there when I did this? Were you there when I did that? Were you there when I called all of these different aspects of creation into being? And do you remember how Job ultimately responds? I had heard of you, but now I have seen you. And the reality of who God is in Job's life reminded him of how humble he was before the Lord and how little he ultimately knew in the end. And it was Job's job not to pontificate about all these things, but to humbly walk in obedience and reverence to the Lord who had revealed himself so powerfully in his life. May it be the case that we are people who know the Lord, who's revealed himself in his world, in his word, ultimately in the person of Jesus Christ, his word made flesh, And that you and I contemplate God's grace and power and might and strength and wisdom in the world, and we respond by saying thank you and yielding our lives to his gracious purposes in the world. When that happens, you and I join with all creation in giving glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I invite you to pray with me. God, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Lord, we are so sorry for the ways that we walk around and we don't say thank you, that we don't give you thanks for the reality that your steadfast love endures forever, that creation is all around us proclaiming your glory. So we pray that you would help us to walk in gratitude, even today in this week as we see your power at work around us, Lord, that we would stop and we would say thank you. We would contemplate your love for us and the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the one who shows us most fully what you're like, and that we would not claim to be wise in our own mind or strength or power, but we would receive your wisdom, and that we would walk in obedience, and that we would join with all creation in bringing you glory. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you never publicly professed your faith in Christ, or you feel God calling you to unite with us and be a member here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, however God's leading you to respond, if it's a public decision, I'll be at the front to receive you. Or perhaps you respond by standing and singing or praying where you are. However God leads you, I invite you to join me as we